Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at Progressive.com. It was never going to be easy, of course, and the incredible challenge of winning a sixth title in 8 years and completing a second three-peat only grows more challenging the closer Michael Jordan and the Bulls get to the ultimate goal in the spring of 98. It's the final two episodes of The Last Dance this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Catch up on every episode on demand in the ESPN app. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Here's your SportsCenter update. Vince McMahon defended himself in Oliver Luck's wrongful termination suit by saying Luck was grossly negligent of the job by abandoning his responsibilities once the coronavirus pandemic began. Also, Luck disobeyed an XFL mandate stating that no player with problematic backgrounds would be signed in signing Antonio Callaway, who was suspended in the NFL for a DUI. And the final reason was Luck's personal use of an XFL-issued iPhone. Oh, Vince.
Mike is saying he's rooting for Vince, not because he signed a player that McMahon, that ran against McMahon's moral philosophical differences, just because he signed that bad player and let him play in the league. He's saying, right, he's saying you could fire him for cause just like that, because as you know, Mike is a bitter and emotional Browns fan.
I mean, that seems like a case, even with Vince McMahon's attorneys, that seems like a case the best attorney in the world could not win. I mean, is that a cell phone? I mean, come on.
Not a jury or judge in the state of Ohio would convict or rule in favor of Andrew Luck's dad, Oliver Luck, because Antonio Callaway is the worst wide receiver to ever lace them up.
And finally, Arizona iced tea has cost 99 cents a can since 1992. What? What?
That's right.
If you love Nature Valley sweet and salty bars, you'll love the new sweet and salty minis. It's all the indulgent, savory goodness you know now, just in a smaller size. And at 100 calories, snacking has never been so sweet. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So at Lebatard Show is how it you vote on the Twitter polls. And what I wanted to ask you, Stugatz, is you remember what about the name? If we're playing word association, this seems like 100 years ago, but it was only 10 years ago. If we're playing word association and I say the name Armando Galarraga to you, what do you think of?
A guy who was robbed of a perfect game by one of the nicest umpires you'll ever meet.
Okay, well, it's interesting because that second part is what stayed with me about that entire story. 10 years ago, and there's a reason I'm telling you this story. 10 years ago, Armando Galarraga retired the first 26 Indians that he faced. He went for the 21st perfect game of all time in baseball at a time. It feels like 10 years ago, baseball was a different time and sport. You know what I mean, Stugatz?
Yes.
Like, this kind of story popped in a way. Like, baseball feels like it's become sort of a regional sport where you might care about your hometown team, but it doesn't feel like it wraps up the country the way that football and basketball does when they're playing meaningful games. But 10 years ago, Armando Galarraga threw a perfect game, and at the end, he ran over to cover first base on the last ground ball. He touched first base. It should have been the 21st perfect game ever. An umpire, do you remember the umpire's name? Do you remember who it was?
I do not.
I think it was Jim Joyce, but the part that I remember about the story is Jim Leland goes out there, screams up and down at the umpire, Jim Joyce. Jim Joyce ends up feeling so terribly about his human mistake that people went from hating an umpire, which is very easy to do, who had wronged a player from historic greatness, to being like, oh, he feels so bad that even Jim Leland, after berating the umpire, ended up feeling and crying himself, feeling bad because he had berated and embarrassed the man who had made such a mistake in such an important moment. And what I remember is that Armando Galarraga also was hugely, hugely graceful being robbed of a moment that we would have forever associated him with.
In a way that most people would not, by the way. It was a great job by him. So you're right. I do remember that. In a way that most people would not have responded or reacted.
I say all of this so you know that Armando Galarraga now changed his mind. He wants his perfect game. Now that they've gone to instant replay and everything else, Armando, yes, what I remember is just the grace, the amazing, oh, wow, Billy waving a hand at Armando Galarraga, a hand of disgust and condescension. Billy Gill, what happened? Why'd you get so fired up about this?
Because Armando Galarraga needs to realize that if he would have gotten that out, we would not have remembered that he pitched the perfect game 10 years ago. We would not have remembered his name. And the only reason we're talking about this story right now is because it didn't happen and the way it didn't happen. His imperfect game was so much more memorable than any perfect game he could have pitched, because there's been so many random no-hitters and perfect games that you couldn't name half the people that have pitched them. We will always remember his name because of how that happened. So Jim Joyce did him a favor that day.
I mean, it's a great point. It is, of the perfect games, it is the most memorable of the perfect games. Or maybe it was the perfect game in the World Series that Don Larson threw. But Billy, they're pretty rare, okay? No hitters are random. These are pretty rare, all right?
21. That would have been the 21st one. I ride with Billy on this. He's absolutely right that the imperfect game would be remembered more than a traditional perfect game.
Okay, Scott, since Super Bowl, naming the perfect games you remember. There's only 20 of them, right? Or 21? So let's just go down.
No. You're misconstruing what I'm saying. I am agreeing with your overall premise. It just dawned on me that Don Larson did do it during a World Series. So perhaps it's up there. Galarraga is up there with Don Larson.
You know what? Here's the thing. Thank you for doing that, Billy. You are a staunch, staunch ally in the Stugatz army. You are always there supporting him on the most absurd of things. But let's try this now, Stugatz, because I want to actually test what Billy is saying there in terms of the memorability of perfect games. I can remember El Presidente, Dennis Martinez. Go ahead. You go after that.
All right. So I remember Len Barker. I believe Len Barker, a Cleveland Indian pitcher, threw a perfect game.
Are you sure? Because I feel like he only threw no-hitters, that he threw a couple of no-hitters. I don't think that they were perfect. I don't think he threw a perfect game.
I do not have. Now, listen, I'm home alone. I'm left to my own devices. I know most of you think I'm cheating at home. I am not. All right. When you're pulling out Len Barker as the first one,
you are
not cheating. Okay.
All right. No, you've got your hands up. What you did when Billy attacked you by questioning your knowledge, keep your hands up, jazz hands. But you immediately, what you do is you just try and blind people with your sausage fingers when you get into the lie telling or the pivoting or the wanting to hide things. But your hands are up, so go ahead and have at it. He is not looking at any computers. Name all the perfect games that you can. Chris Cody has them in front of him, and he reports that Len Barker has indeed thrown a perfect game. So we've got, so far we've got three of them. Don Larson,
Did Larson throw two? I forget.
No.
So we got Larson, El Presidente, and Len Barker.
That's all we've got so far. We've got a list of three. Speaking to Billy's point of the imperfect game is absolutely remembered more than the perfect game. I just love that Armando Galarraga now has a cake and eat it situation because he wants to have the moment of the infamous imperfect game, but he also is saying, hey, give me the perfect game as well. I want both of them.
All right, are we still playing this game here? Because I thought we were going to go back and forth. Do you only remember one perfect game, Dan? It's El Presidente. That's it.
That's the only one I can remember off the top of my head. Yes.
All right.
I can't remember anymore. I can't go back and forth on you on this. No.
The game might be over. I might be done with Len Barker and Don Larson. I mean, I'm trying to think.
All right. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. How many perfect game pitchers can you name? And then give people some options. We've just given them three. And I assume that, did Dallas Braden throw a perfect game?
He did. Yeah. Braden did because they just did, I think it was on Mother's Day because they did an E60 on it that I was watching over the weekend. I remember one more, Dan, and I only remember it because the Marlins tried to sell unsold tickets for the game after it actually happened.
That's right.
That was
Roy
Halladay's perfect game.
Right. That's right. So wait a minute. The Mets have never had a perfect game, right? For a long time, the Mets had never had a no-hitter. The Mets have never had a perfect game, correct, Stu Gatz?
I don't believe the Mets have had a perfect game.
All right, that's your team. Well-executed dismount there.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
If you missed any of our interviews, please check them out on demand in the Dan Le Batard Show podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA, member FDIC. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
I want to ask the audience this question. I want to ask you guys this question. At Le Batard Show on Twitter, Guillermo, put it on the poll. Do you like sitcom soundtrack laughter? Do you like canned laughter with your television product? Because Joe Buck is now saying that it is practically a done deal, Stu Gatz, that football isn't merely going to play in a way that you can hear how violent all of that stuff is because the crowd is quiet, there is no crowd, and you're going to be able to hear football. They want to give you the experience a little more like what you're used to because it is going to be super weird to watch football. It's going to feel a little bit like watching practices with no fans
right
in the place. It's going to feel like watching scrimmages. They are going to pipe in fake crowd noise at these games to make it more of a made-for-television production. According to Joe Buck, he's saying it's pretty much a done deal. How do you feel about that, Stu Gatz?
I like it. I wonder how they're going to do it, meaning if the Saints are playing a home game, is it going to be a home crowd when they do something good? Are they going to cheer when they get a bad call? Are those fans going to boo? I mean, how is all that going to work?
You like that. You want that.
I think you need to have some sort of feeling, some sort of presence, crowd noise at a game. Have you been watching the late night television shows, Dan? Like, you need crowd noise. I don't care if it's fake. I don't care if it's piped in, but like Kimmel and Colbert and Fallon, all funny guys sitting at home delivering monologues that with no laughter, and you're not laughing, because it's hard. It's hard to laugh at that stuff without having a group of people to laugh with, without making it communal. And so I am a fan of piping in crowd noise. You need something. It can't be silent in there.
Billy, what do you think? What are you thinking here as it relates to what Joe Buck is saying, that fake crowd noise is the way we're going to go on this? It's not going to be authentic, because something about that feels wrong to me. Like, I understand, I know we're choosing from among bad options here, but that does not feel necessary to me. It doesn't feel like it's going to enhance the experience at home in much of any way. Like, I don't need a soundtrack. I don't need the fake laughter on sitcoms that they did in the 80s. But Billy, what is it that you think here?
Well, then how do you know something's funny, Dan?
Right. You don't think you need it. I mean, that's
the fake sounds. And I think that Joe Buck's not thinking big enough, because I would think that right now they're just talking about who's and ha's, right? Rumbles, maybe some boos here and there, just generic, like hubbub that you have in the background of these plays. But I feel like we need to isolate what it is that gives you the actual stadium experience, to make sure that when they throw in the fake noises, they've captured the true essence, right? So, like, are they going to have beer men come into a recording studio and do their beer calls? Because you don't want some actor doing a beer man call, because actors can't do beer man calls, right? But then where's the line? Do you do, like, the peanut people? Do you do, you know, specific chants that certain teams have for their players, like 4-3-2 Juan, do you do that? Everybody can remember the Juan Encarnacion chant.
The Juan Encarnacion chant is what you went with there. 4-3-2 Juan.
Who could forget it? So are these things that we're going to be including, or are we just doing like generic, like, you know what I mean? Let me ask you directly, because I feel like I'm being vague here. What sound do you think is absolutely necessary at a game that they can't forget?
I mean, cheering, real and legitimate cheering. I don't need a whole lot of other sounds. Yes, yes, Stugart.
No, but I think where Billy's going is, like, at a Jet home game, are we going to hear J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets? Are the Dolphins, are their fans going to, or fake fans, going to sing the Dolphin fight song after they score a touchdown? I mean, this is mysteries, Dan.
Chris, you wanted to get in here. What is it that you wanted to say? Did you want to sing something, or what is it that you wanted to do here?
No, I'm saying I actually agree with Roy. Roy pointed out, are they doing this crowd noise to block out the players cursing at each other that we might be able to hear otherwise? Because I'm with Roy. I'd rather hear players cursing than fake crowd noise.
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. What would you rather hear, football players cursing or fake crowd noise? Because the idea of that, Stugant, the idea of football, America's biggest sport, they do everything, Stugant, so big and well. Whether it is the draft under unbelievable circumstances, they've got plenty of time to prepare for it. I would just love to know what the meetings are on how do we make the television product feel without fans the way that it normally feels. You could do some of that with graphics, Stugatz. As,
right.
You know, we've talked before, the television football experience is better at this point for you on Sundays at home than at the stadium, because you have access to all the games all at once. You can watch everything. If you've got attention deficit disorder, you don't have to pay for parking. You don't have to walk a mile to the stadium or lose your car. You don't have to incur whatever hardships the heat brings, the weather, if it rains, none of that stuff. You just watch it from home. So there are, I'd love to see, given you saw the size of what they did with the Super Bowl, right? You saw the commercial where they're able to, you know, merge their pregame show with their televised product. I expect football to do something big. Like, I expect that what Joe Buck is saying here, Stugatz, is actually being minimized. That it's not going to be just fake crowd noise. That football is going to rise to the occasion and give you an exceptionally televised product, because they always do.
Right. I would expect the same. It makes perfect sense. And they have the resources, the money to do it. Baseball would be the easiest to replicate, right? Just in terms of crowd noise. Like, it's just you get, you know, 20,000 people just kind of talking very quietly. Like, that shouldn't be a hard. But what happens if something exciting happens? And we need to get da-da-da-da-da-da, charge! Like, that's where I need to see where this thing goes, man.
Stan Van Gundy joins us next.
That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere. Which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Stan Van Gundy is expected to join us here in just a minute. Here's your SportsCenter update. Vince McMahon defended himself in Oliver Luck's wrongful termination suit by saying Luck was grossly negligent of the job by abandoning his responsibilities once the coronavirus pandemic began. Also, Luck disobeyed an XFL mandate stating that no player with problematic backgrounds would be signed in signing Antonio Callaway, who was suspended by the NFL for a DUI. And the final reason was Luck's personal use of an XFL-issued iPhone. And finally, the original star of the movie Scream, Matthew Lillard, said he's ready to reprise his role as Stu Mocker from Scream 5. Neve Campbell is also in talks to reprise her role as Sidney Prescott. Man, that movie was good. Whew, the original. SportsCenter brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Think ahead, think advance. At any time, one of four batteries is about to fail. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase only at Advance Auto Parts. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Guillermo, put these two questions on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Have you ever used the word hubbub before? And also, has any young person ever used the word hubbub before? Because you just used the word hubbub, and you are much too young to be using that word. Stan Van Gundy with us on ESPN Radio. We like to talk to him about a variety of different things. So let's start with baseball, and let's start with Blake Snell of the Tampa Bay Rays saying, you got to understand, for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. He will not end up playing. Stan Van Gundy says what to Blake Snell saying that, 2 months removed from saying, if I get it, I get it?
You know what? I think that everybody in this whole pandemic thing, whatever we choose to do, we're measuring risk versus reward, every one of us. And Blake Snell is saying right now that the reward is not enough for him to take the risk. And look, I don't think he's going to be the only athlete who's going to come to that conclusion. It's one of the things I've said about the NBA. Even if the NBA returns to play, I don't think that means every guy is just going to line up and go out there and play. I think that we'll have guys who will say, no, not me. It's not worth it to me. I'm not saying we're going to have a lot of those guys in any sport, but you're going to have some of them who are going to decide this just isn't worth it.
Stu Gott says that he's no longer interested in who wins the NBA championship. And my guess is it's going to have a share. I mean, if people test positive, it's going to be impacted by strangeness and by unforeseen circumstances more than the average, more than any series, really.
Well, that's certainly possible, yeah. I mean, well, if somebody gets it and can't play, you know, because you're going to have to sit out a full 2 weeks. That's the quarantine period. So, you know, people will say, well, it's just like an injury. But then there's going to be people that are probably going to have to sit out simply because they were in contact with that person. And then there's other people who are going to say, look, I don't want to play against that team. They were in contact with that guy. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider here. You know, what these commissioners are going to go through in making these decisions is difficult. And then from the player's side, the players have to look at it differently because let's be fair. for the owners, it's a fairly easy decision. Not that they're not going to be thoughtful about it, but it's a fairly easy decision, and the commissioners work for the owners because those people aren't going to be taking the risk. So they have a lot to gain in terms of money, and they're not going to have the risk. The owners are not going to have the risk. Adam Silver's not going to have the risk. So the players are right to be a little bit skeptical and say, oh, wait a minute. We're the ones taking on the risk here. I'm not sure it's worth it.
Stan Van Gundy with us here on ESPN Radio, analyst for TNT and NBA TV. Stan, if you were still coaching, would you come back? Would you feel comfortable?
I don't know right now. I mean, I would say that would all depend on how they're planning to do things and everything else, and then probably a deeper dive into my own personal risk. I've been following the story like everybody has and all the developments with it as far as the pandemic. But in terms of my health profile and what my risks would be, I haven't dug into that. I'd have to do that. But I guess I would say, Stu Gotts, that it wouldn't be a sure thing. I'd have to think about it a little bit.
Stan Van Gundy with us, analyst, as he said, Stu Gotts said, for TNT and NBA TV. We were remiss in not asking you some different last dance questions, but before we get to that, one last question, pandemic related. What happens? We were talking before you came on about Chris Bosh and how nobody could put him back on the court because you could not have a player die on you as a league or as a team. So Chris Bosh wanted to keep playing but couldn't. The NBA players want to keep playing. My question, I guess, is twofold. A, what happens if someone dies? And B, are we putting business ahead of human life here in a way we didn't with Chris Bosh, because it's now everyone's business being affected instead of just Chris Bosh's?
I mean, that's a great question. Look, I don't think anybody is going to try to downplay the safety of the players. My only thing is you will feel safe with the risks when it's somebody else. I mean, what are they, the old saying that minor surgery is when somebody else is having it. So it's a little bit more when it impacts you. But the Chris Bosh situation to me is instructive in one way, and that is there are times, I think, as leaders, you are required to step in and not do what the player or anyone under your charge wants to do, but to do what's best for them. And I think the Miami Heat did that in the case of Chris Bosh. Even though he wanted to play and even though he would have made them better if he played, they did what was right for Chris Bosh. And I think that's what Adam Silver is weighing now. As much as he wants to get back out there and play, I know enough about Adam Silver to know he wants to do right by the players. And there will never be a time anymore, probably, of zero risk, but you want it as close to that as you can be.
Stan, we'll get to the last dance in just a second here. Raging debate earlier on the show between Chris and Tony over pineapple on pizza. What are your feelings on pineapple on pizza, Stan? I can't stand it.
Look, I think it's an aberration. I mean, it's really, why anybody would do that to a perfectly good pizza? I have a son who does that, always gets the Hawaiian pizza. My son does, and I'm really disappointed in the way I raised him.
How about ribs? I couldn't believe that Chris Cody was saying that ribs are overrated.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. You've got some people that are, really, I'm disappointed in that. I've always been a fan of Chris's, and this right. is disturbing, to say the least. I mean, ribs are a delicacy. How could they be overrated?
Well, Stan, if I may, I think Chris's overall argument is he likes ribs, but they're very hard to make at home. And so if you're going to have ribs, yes. Right. So do you agree with that? They're very hard to prepare.
It's not that hard
on your own.
Wait a minute. He was saying that nobody makes good ribs at home is what he was saying, that there is no such thing as good ribs at home.
Oh, I don't think that's true at all. We had We actually had Thanksgiving this past year in Miami. We went down, visited my daughter, and we had Thanksgiving with her boyfriend's family who were visiting from Milwaukee. And the boyfriend's father smoked ribs right there at the house that they had rented. Outstanding. He proved you can make great ribs at home.
Stan Van Gundy with us on ESPN Radio. What did you make? I know this had to drive you crazy. Of all the people saying on the Last Dance documentary, I wouldn't let us lose. Michael wouldn't let us lose. It wasn't one of the options.
Yeah, I've always loved that saying in sports. And it actually came up. The one I heard first on the Last Dance was when they were playing Phoenix in the finals. And Charles Barkley said that about himself. I think it was game three. After they'd lost a couple, you know, I wasn't going to let us lose. And every time I hear that, I'm saying, so then you decided to let them win the other four games? Like, you decided I would let us lose the other four? I've always wondered about some of these things in sports. Like, oh, he wouldn't let them lose. Well, wait a minute. They lost X number of games that year. What was his decision in those? I don't get that.
How did you feel about the golfing? All the golfing with Danny Ainge between games of a playoff series.
Well, here's the thing. Like I was saying yesterday, for whatever reason in sports, we have the need to create a mythology, and then we will make things fit the myth and ignore the things that don't fit them. And so, you know, I coached Dwight Howard in Orlando, and he was constantly criticized for not being enough of a competitor because he smiled too much. But Michael Jordan played golf with an opponent on the day in between playoff games. I just know Pat Riley's head would have exploded if any of his players had done that in between games of a playoff series. Michael Jordan went to Atlantic City and was out till 2:30 in the morning down there before they played the Knicks. And that's okay with people. Like, that's okay. And the reason was because he won. And he won because he was a great player and could overcome those things. But other players doing the same things, we would use those exact examples to prove that they weren't great competitors.
Listen to me. You shut up, okay? That's not a 10-part series, everything you just said there. You go away now, Stan Van Gundy. You and all your myth-busting, you have to come in here and tell us all these things. What you just said cannot be a 10-part documentary.
Well, also, Dan and I once agreed that Dwayne Wade could punch Pat Riley in the face before Game 7, and he'd still start that Game 7.
Pat Riley agreed. Never mind you and me agreed. Pat Riley agreed with that.
Of course he would. And so would every other coach in professional sports.
Stan, good talking to you, sir. We'll catch up with you
soon.
All
right. Yep. Bye-bye.
He's an analyst for TNT and NBA TV. He is as good as it gets. We're back after this.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Wonderful, wonderful effort by the listeners there, helping us at every turn. Yes, Dugat.
Dan, it was beautiful. It should be your anthem. It is time for the movie of the day. It is brought to you by Redbox, Dan. It is George Lucas's birthday, which brings me to my top three George Lucas movies of all time. Are you ready, Dan?
Yep.
Number three, Tucker, The Man and His Dream. I love a movie about a man and his dream, and Tucker's dream was amazing. Number two on my list.
You don't even know. What was his dream? What was his dream?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what it was, but there was a dream, and I love a man and his dream.
Very good. You couldn't bluff your way out of that one. You have no idea what the dream was.
No idea. I don't even know who Tucker is, but he had a dream, okay? Number two on my list of all-time George Lucas movies, number two, American Graffiti. How about that? That's a good movie, right? You like that one?
Exactly what we thought.
Yep. And number one, and Mike, I think you would agree, George Lucas movies, Lost Boys. Yeah. Redbox has top entertainment when you need it most. Get ready for some high-speed family excitement with Sonic the Hedgehog. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways you can watch.
Tim Kirkshin's going to join us here in 10 minutes to play the Looks Like game. And I feel like while we're in quarantine consuming way too many videos, that we're all seeing the same things go viral. We're all seeing the drunk pig rolling down a hill. We're all seeing the two guys squared up in front of a car. I want to talk about this video, Stu Gatz, because there is a bald guy who is shirtless, who has got, I don't know whether it's a chain wallet or what, but he's got a chain hanging from the back of his jeans, and he squares up confidently against this Crispin Glover-looking dude who is super lanky and there for that fight because he's been waiting his whole life for that fight to make an appearance. Because, Stu Gatz, I have never in my life seen someone so confident in a fight in the street that they go roundhouse kick. Like, that is not something that you have.
That is max confidence.
You have reached a special place in terms of where your fighting confidence is against who it is you're fighting against. If you put down your hands and you say, no, I'm going to go perfectly execute roundhouse kick, and then that fight ends with the bald guy just trying to call timeout the way my little brother did when we were fighting, calls timeout, and old Crispin Glover stops for a second, but then at the very end just gives him one last good kick in the side, and the guy just winced his way. It was such a good fight video.
I will tell you, if you drop your hands, okay, just dropping your hands and suggesting that you're going to roundhouse kick me, whether I know you could do it or not, whether I know you could execute it or not, I am running the other way as quickly as possible. I don't want a part of you. I don't want a piece of you.
The tall guy looked like Boban. Okay, he looked and he squares up, and I don't know what's going to happen. We're watching this. What's going to happen here? This is going to be interesting. And then bald guy goes in with no fighting ability whatsoever, and you always have to fear the guy who's been waiting for this moment his entire life. And he was doing it, like, with honor. He was saying, nope, you got to bring it to me first, and then I'll show you what's up.